Blog Talk Radio.
You're about to listen to the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications, Guru Nostra.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madame and messieurs, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. My name is Guru, a.k.a. Colin Knight. We have a great show lined up, lots to get to tonight. So let's set up the board, open up the phone lines. We remind you, phone lines will be open for the duration of the show.
On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
President Obama's status on Arizona's ballot is in question.
Our goal in the beginning was to prove this document authentic. The problem is the evidence has taken us somewhere else.
The Rockets went right there. We took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya.
I've spoken here last. Lots of ups, lots of downs. Except for my approval ratings, which have just gone down. But that's politics. It doesn't bother me. Besides, I happen to know that my approval ratings are still very high in the country of my birth.
That Obama's literary agent of a book that was scheduled to be released in 1991, or booklet, states emphatically that Obama was born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia and Hawaii.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockies on blogtalkradio.com. Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287. The purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the VOCR. It is Wednesday, August the 22nd, 2012. A nice, cool evening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. 22 degrees Celsius. That's about 72 degrees Fahrenheit for our American friends. A break from the great weather for the July and August in Canada. We now see signs of fall. Warm days, cooler nights, increasing cloud, and trees transforming for fall and then winter sleep. But we're not there yet. We've still got a couple of really nice days ahead of us, and we're looking forward to the harvest, which is underway. And we'll be talking more about that a little later tonight. Special shout-outs to Sammy from London, England, who wrote a great email recently. And we'll be highlighting a piece of it in a few moments. To the BC Dreamcatcher, Long John Winter is a-coming. And the Southeast Brickie's much better half, Beth, even a great wall needs a true foundation. And Calgary Scottish Lass, are we on the same calendar? Is time really our enemy? Tell you what, Alfred, let's look at the email.
Governor
from London, England wrote, "Your news links are great, especially the Times of India and Sydney Daily. You definitely reach out to your audience. How many hours a day do you spend compiling?" Well, Sammy of London, the question is asked quite a bit about compilation, and it is relatively quick, as many of the links are sent direct to our sorting email system, and then reader links are reviewed first, then the auto links, and then the compilation, probably less than an hour. But guess what, Sammy? Nothing stops you from being a contributor. You could send us some of your English beat, email it to the VOCR2012@gmail.com, and we'll send you the info on how to do it by reply. Jose from Ottawa emailed, why have you not mentioned the Quebec elections, a moment in time which could cause Quebec separation from Canada? Well, Jose from Quebec, having been threatening for years to separate, unless they get more of the federal transfer pie, we've heard it from Quebec before. And in the West, their echoes are beginning to fall on deaf ears. If Quebec wishes to separate, then so be it. That is the Articles of Confederation. That's what they're all about. Quebec didn't sign the Canadian Constitution and have shunned being considered Canadian for many years. You know, John Ibison from the National Post wrote a great piece in June about Quebec's threats. So I recommend you go to the nationalpost.com and go to the date of 2012/06/28 and look at John Ibison and read what he has to say about Quebec. So, Josie, if it is the will of the people of Quebec, then Canada must bid adieu and she'll divvy up the future transfer payments to the remaining provinces. And unfortunately, we will watch Quebec implode. Currently, unemployment in Quebec is 9.3, and the province cannot sustain EI payments for that 10% of the population. But let me guess, somebody will come up with a brilliant idea that Quebec should be able to suckle on the teat of Canada until the transition is complete. We do thank you for your email, Ozzy. I would love to send you a full opinion for a submission to the Gazette. I think it would be great if you could do that. So think about that. If you want to be the voice of reason out in Quebec, then send us some opinion pieces. Stan from Fort McMurray, the ground zero for the oil extraction capital of North America. Stan emailed, now I think he did this from his BlackBerry because the sentencing structure was broken up, but I think I got the gist. Stan emailed, I work in camp 21N and 9 out for 7 months a year. Workers in the oil patch lose track of news and politics. I like receiving your newsletter. Your radio show is a favorite. Let the world know that our oil is what will save North America. Stan. Well, thanks for the email message. I think it was a BlackBerry you sent it on. Stan, the oil patch has got a bad rap. Environmentalists have trashed the process, the cost, the damage to the environment, every conceivable attempt to shut down the oil sands. I'll be right back. Talk every night. We're on the air about political research and polls and how they're merciless and they don't give up. Well, there's one polling service that's been polling down in our region for about the last week regarding the American politics. And they're polling pretty hard, especially on numbers that originate from the United States. And one such number that just rang in originates from California. So they're polling hard and fast. So, Stan, I apologize. Yeah, we got interrupted. The oil patch has had a bad rap. You know, the environmentalists have trashed it, right? Everything has been thrown onto the table to put people off oil. But the fact is, oil is a necessity in our society. And the necessity tends to negate the complaints. Our society, as it stands right now, could not survive without petroleum products. Even the environmentalists create a huge carbon footprint while protesting and traveling to protest points around the globe. If oil was not a base component for millions and billions of items, and there was a better product which could replace oil, then I could say maybe. Until then, it is paramount that North America secure its oil sources and remove the stranglehold the world oil price has on America and the rest of the world. OPEC need to lose control of the oil command. But thanks for your email, Stan. And the last email for tonight is from a seasoned Pal Talk chatter. Now, I have to say that I did receive this some time ago, and the reason I held it back is because I wanted to give what this chatter has to say. I wanted to give the fullness of an answer. For those people that have never been in political audio chat and have never attempted to have a discussion in there, then I caution you before you listen to that piece. But for those that are seasoned warriors that go in there all the time, then what I have to tell you tonight is going to be a giggle. So the email came in. It's a Pal Talk chatter that I talk to all of the time. And it says, Guru, you've been around the block for over 10 years. How do you rate today's chat with the chat from 10 years ago? Wow. That's about the shortest he has ever typed or talked since I've known him. So, well, fellow chatter, in 10 years, audio chat has degraded to political untruths, ingrate discussions about issues that most know nothing about. In fact, with your email in mind, I actually went on a little bit of a reconnaissance. You see, the other night I listened as a healthy, welfare-earning, unemployed union worker held court and was spouting why the economy was in such poor shape. He was proud of the assistance he was getting from his government and impressed on how long he could survive on welfare services and food stamps. He was proud that he was on the internet helping others to stay sat on their ass while taxpayers paid for their pontifications. Uneducated political pundits, regurgitating old political issues, puking up stories already proven false or true, and claims of future government actions if the wrong candidate is elected. I listened as these lemmings regurgitated the DNC or the GOP party line, devoid of independent thought, incapable of bending in the wind of discussion. When true facts were introduced into the chat, the visceral personal attacks commenced, as if the truth had poisoned the murky waters of the chat room. Truth seems to be the holy water in those who like to vilify political candidates. Truth is the last thing that either political party wishes to hear, unless, of course, it favors them. Truth and open discussion has become impossible in the public chat system. Agent provocateurs and political chatbots prevent this from happening. Open, friendly, and articulate discussion in a moment in history. The daily chat continues to show self-evidence that it is in collapse. And with that, we'll be right back.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerrorChat Radio Network. We'll be right back.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God go I. There's a modern saying that many citizens are 2 paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, remember those who are less fortunate. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God go I.
This is The Voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com. Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on TerraJet Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification calling nights.
And I have people scrambling all over the place as systems that we use remotely tend to lock up and freeze up tonight, not behaving themselves. Blood Talk must be busy, and those servers must be going like a bat out of hell. If you get the urge to call, by all means, 347-324-3287. Let's chew the fat on something that's bothering you or something you want to impress upon our audience. You know, over the last few weeks, we've been focusing on Sharia law and Wahhabi influences. In doing so, I got to tell you, we did receive an enormous amount of email, much of it threatening in nature, with little real concise understandings of their own internal religious issues, never mind my own church's issues. We shall continue to follow the story as it unfolds, and probably in the next week or so, we'll do another special. This week, we wish to focus on a number of things in the news, commencing with one of my favorite pastimes, of course, internet political audio chat, which spoke of earlier through an email through a PalTalk chat buddy regarding what I thought about internet chat. Well, I will say this, that entering political chat rooms is always an unknown quantity. There are, at any given time, a number of factors dominating chat. You can almost set your watch by the attendance in certain rooms, and the quality of discussion can border from sublime to ridiculous, usually when the Mac attack happens. Now, these groups who flow through the internet highway traffic of political chat are well known. They carry a reputation. They sometimes smell. Their mere presence at times turns chat into mayhem with inflated political statements. They have no interest in the truth or honest discussion, no concept of debate, and yet you are supposed to yield to their magnificence and succumb to their vulgar rants about the inadequacies of testosterone opponents. It's a sad state of affairs, really. You see, these people who live on the internet in dark and dingy chat rooms have sacrificed their true understanding of reality. They have created personas and dominance, becoming an alpha male or female, something which they may not have in their everyday existence. Signing into chat rooms, assuming a persona, and joining the royalty of chat, their presence is usually revered. Angry, verbally violent, emasculated men who treat all women like mentally challenged sex objects. They enter chat and become everything they cannot be in real time. Now, I do find humor in chat. Listening to someone whose language skills clearly prove he or she did not see grade 10, yet they spout and pontificate about their knowledge of Romney Care or the impending Obamacare struggle, and apparently from written script, written well above their reading level. Precariously hanging onto reality as the audio drones spew the mantra, the prevailing political party by way of soundbites or flash headlines. The depth of news, or the lack of it, is alarming. More alarming is that those who shall make the most important decision known to man, the U.S. voters, and choose the next president of the United States, are deciding from billboard signs or flash headlines sound bites of news and peer pressure to make the decision. They scare me. Now, you'd think audio chats would be a great medium to discuss political and social issues. You would think that an open area of discussion would bring out the best in us, even anonymously. But it doesn't appear to do so. Instead, it spewed hatred and vengeance, using the lowest depravities available and vulgar common language which seems to be devoured in ever-increasing quantity in audio chat. For over 10 years, those who truly enjoy discussion and debates on social and political issues have been relegated to pockets of chats which are as elusive as the twinkles in the night sky. So, what's your opinion on internet political chat? Call in. I wouldn't mind hearing what you have to say.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network.
America's on the wrong track, but Mitt Romney and I will take the right steps in the right time to get us back on the right track. I believe that my record of getting things done in Congress will be a very helpful complement to Governor Romney's executive and private sector success outside of Washington. I've worked closely with Republicans as well as Democrats to advance an agenda of economic growth, fiscal discipline, and job creation. I'm proud to stand with a man who understands what it takes to foster job creation in our economy. Someone who knows from experience that if you have a small business, you did build that.
This year, in this election, we are called to reaffirm our values and our commitments, to hold them against a hard reality, and see how we're measuring up to the legacy of our forebears and the promise of future generations. And fellow Americans, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, I say to you tonight, we have more work to do.
You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Well, regrettably, President Obama has become part of the problem, and Mitt Romney is the solution. That America is a place where if you work hard and play by the rules, you can get ahead.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
The American dream. The American dream. Is it dead? Does it still lie smoldering out in the heartland? Is the American dream still alive? Can it be revived? Looking at internet chat, I gotta tell you, I do get enjoyment from listening to some who truly attempt to create discussion, who have positive remarks. And there are moments of pleasure when another lemming sees the light, and I chuckle lots when someone attempts to educate the masses on the opposing healthcare plans. You see, hundreds of accountants and lawyers have crawled all over the healthcare issues, and some half-dressed hillbilly accountant spouts the truth of either plan is humorous. Most of the chatters to the master's tune. No independent thought tends to be left in chat, and blind party loyalty seems to reign. America does need to unite, but only for about 13 hours on November the 6th, 2012. The rest of the time, they can live in chaos. In speaking with a colleague recently, I told him that if Obama gets a second term, then his planned bug-out plan needed to be tested and tuned in preparation. My colleague typed back, "It doesn't look like they will win, Guru. They'll unite, all right, when America gets attacked again. But this time it could be mushroom clouds blooming over the American cities." And I replied, "I fear you may be right. Obama's ability to command against Muslim aggressors does appear to be an obstacle in his presidency. He seems to be torn between religions. And if Assad uses chemical weapons, then Obama has warned he will order intervention. This will ignite the Middle East. The USA will again become the common enemy. Iran will respond. Israel shall unleash. And China and Russia will weigh in, followed by Europe. And if this comes true, I personally believe that it would be a localized nuclear chemical exchange. And those who could strike North America would most certainly consider doing so. Now, depending on the strength of a president, that decision shall be made. And I fear for the United States, not because they're not powerful, not because of a military machine, not because of the people of the United States, because even if Obama is man enough to properly defend the treaty friends and the United States interests, he is impetus politically. USA needs a strength. And I'm not sure if he is even the answer. But the facade that the world will buy is in place. And they did buy it when Obama was elected under the guise of change. So is it possible? Could there be a change in government? Well, that's entirely up to American voters and how deep they want to understand the truth.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network.
You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Well, regrettably, President Obama has become part of the problem, and Mitt Romney is the solution.
This year, in this election, we are called to reaffirm our values and our commitments, to hold them against a hard reality, and see how we're measuring up the legacy of our forebears and the promise of future generations. And fellow Americans, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, I say to you tonight, we have more work to do.
I represent a part of America that includes inner cities, rural areas, suburbs, and factory towns. Over the years, I have seen and heard from a lot of family, from a lot of those who are running small businesses, and from people who are in need. But what I've heard lately, that's what troubles me the most. There's something different in their voice, in their words. What I hear from them are diminished dreams, lowered expectations, uncertain futures. I hear some people say that this is just the new normal. Higher unemployment, declining incomes, and crushing debt is not a new normal. It is the result of misguided policies. And next January, our economy will begin a comeback with the Romney plan for a stronger middle class that will lead to more jobs and more take-home pay for working Americans.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And the Democratic National Committee informed a Connecticut town that it will not be reimbursed for the thousands of dollars the city spent on costs for President Obama's fundraising visit earlier this month. Yep, apparently not. They're not going to get paid. Gordon Joseloff, the first selectman of Westport, says he was informed this week the town's request to have the DNC and Obama for America cover the $14,800 the city paid in police and fire overtime was denied. The president traveled to the area on August the 6th to attend a fundraiser in Stamford and a $35,800 per person dinner at the Westport home of movie producer Harvey Weinstein. Local officials even shut down two popular public beaches to accommodate the president. They closed the 230-acre Sherwood Island Park so the president's helicopter could land. They also closed the roughly two-acre Burying Hill Beach adjacent to Weinstein's mansion. The New Haven Register reports that an executive of the DNC wrote that as a private organization, it did not participate in the security, traffic control, fire or emergency planning. And then she referred the question to the Secret Service. And just when we thought the good old boys were gone and that politics was unhealthy profession. Well, a gentleman by the name of Tom Head, a county judge in Lubbock, Texas, plunged far out into the periphery of an anti-President Barack Obama conspiracy theory on Monday. It was pretty outrageous, even for the birthers. Lubbock's law enforcement needed extra tax dollars in order to be prepared for a full-scale uprising, which he said could be a byproduct of Obama's re-election. This according to this Mr. Head. He is the president who is seeking to sign a variety of United Nations treaties that will effectively take precedent over domestic law. That's what this judge is saying. Now, he also said that he's going to try and hand over the sovereignty of the United States to the UN. And what is going to happen when that happens, Head asked. I'm thinking the worst. Civil unrest, civil disobedience, civil war maybe. And we're not just talking a few riots here and demonstrations. We're talking Lexington, Concord, take up arms and get rid of the guy. Wow, pretty powerful statement. Head continued delving deeper into his hypothesis and claiming that he was prepared to join the hypothetical resistance. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, has it got to this? Has politics stooped to this primeval level where people are permitted to say such atrocities in open language? You know, it's bizarre, but it seems outrageous, but such a bizarre conspiracy theory is being promoted by an elected official as grounds to support a particular policy, no less. And Head isn't the only one. Now, if the birthers are right and Obama is illegitimate, then anything signed by him as president is also undone. And that would be a financial and legal nightmare. Now, that might be an area of the world that the Supreme Court of the United States just may want to go to. That'd be a tough call.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Good afternoon. I have enjoyed a full day of meetings with leaders of the government here in Great Britain. I've spoken with members of the government as well as the opposition. We've spoken about matters of foreign policy, domestic policy, economic outlook, and developments here in the UK and across Europe and across the world. I found the discussions to be enlightening and instructive, and have enjoyed the personal opportunity to come to know a number of the members of the leadership here in Great Britain.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. You got a business. You didn't build that. Somebody else.
I am going to predict that within the 4 years of my term, that we would get unemployment down to 6%. According to the president's plan, we're supposed to be at 5.6% by now, and he hasn't accomplished that. We're still above 8%. He said if we put in place a stimulus, we'd never go above 8%. We've had 41 straight months above 8%. Now, my plan is based on five key changes that will change the direction of our economy and will get our unemployment rate down and get our wages coming up again. And I'll tell you what the 5 points are. Very quickly. One is taking advantage of our energy resource. Number two is opening new trade for American goods and services around the world. Number three is scaling back the size of government, cutting the deficit. Number four is making sure we're creating human capital with great schools for our kids and training for our workers. And number five is restoring economic freedom by holding down regulation to those that are absolutely necessary and reforming our tax code.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. Got a question? Want to make a comment?
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
An old World War II to-do that still sang in many of the pubs around England. Very patriotic.
This is the VOCR radio on the Terror Chat radio network.
Here's an interesting story. I got this one sent to me from offthegridnews.com. They have some interesting areas there. You should check them out when you get a chance. Well over 2,000 Department of Homeland Security DHS employees and co-conspirators have been convicted of corruption and other criminal misconduct since 2004, according to a federal audit. The Acting Inspector General, the IG at DHS, Charles Edwards, made this revelation in a written testimony for his August 1st hearing held before the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on Government Organization, Efficiency, and Fiscal Financial Management. Did you hear that on mainstream news? No, you didn't. Edward adds that as of July the 15th, the DHS Office of the Inspector General is currently dealing with 1,591 open criminal cases involving DHS employees and accomplices. Some cases date back to fiscal 2004, although the majority of the open investigations were initiated in the past three fiscal years. The thousands of criminal convictions include people who either conspired with a DHS employee, who were linked to the crime that being investigated by an IG. The Office of the Inspector General's investigative work has prompted a total of 2,500 convictions of corruption and other criminal misconduct since around the time when DHS began operating. Criminal convictions for DHS employees and co-conspirators include 1,600, 65% from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, 358, 14% from Customs and Border, 166 from Immigration and Customs, 133 from investigations linked to transportation, and 226 convictions are categorized as other. Now, Edwards explained that in the context of the DHS OIG's investigative work, the DHS employee means an individual who, at the time of the alleged offense, is appointed, contracted, or officially engaged under authority of law in the performance of the federal function on behalf of DHS. This includes contractor employees, interns, Coast Guard, military personnel, active and reserve, Coast Guard auxiliaries, and employees detailed by DHS from other federal agencies. The convictions of DHS employees and their co-conspirators have steadily increased since fiscal 2004, peaking at 438 in fiscal 2007. Then, convictions went down to 268 in fiscal year 2009, and then following that year, the number of convictions started to rise, reaching 359 last year. And during the fiscal year, there have been 146 convictions as of July the 15th, 2012. So, just goes to show you that crime doesn't pay. We'll be right back.
This is the VOC. Are the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
America's on the wrong track, but Mitt Romney and I will take the right steps in the right time to get us back on the right track. I believe that my record of getting things done in Congress will be a very helpful complement to Governor Romney's executive and private sector success outside of Washington. I've worked closely with Republicans as well as Democrats to advance an agenda of economic growth, fiscal discipline, and job creation. I'm proud to stand with a man who understands what it takes to foster job creation in our economy. Someone who knows from experience that if you have a small business, you did build that.
This year, in this election, we are called to reaffirm our values and our commitments, to hold them against a hard reality, and see how we're measuring up to the legacy of our forebears and the promise of future generations. And fellow Americans, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, I say to you tonight, we have more work to do.
You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Well, regrettably, President Obama has become part of the problem, and Mitt Romney is the solution. That America is a place where if you work hard and play by the rules, you can get ahead.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And as we go through our news stories for the week, and you get the urge to make the phone call, please, by all means. Phone lines are always open. For a good debate and a good discussion on a political topic or a social topic. Here's one that should get the females all riled up for the night. Female students in Iran have been barred from more than 70 university degree courses in an officially approved act of sex discrimination, which critics say is aimed at defeating the fight for equal women's rights. In a move that has prompted a demand for a UN investigation by Iran's most celebrated human rights campaigner, the Nobel laureate Shirin Ebadi, 36 universities have announced that 77 BA and BSc courses in the coming academic year will be single gender and effectively exclusive only to men. It follows years in which Iranian women students have outperformed men, a trend that odds with the traditional male-dominated outlook of the country's religious leaders. Women outnumbered men by 3-2 in passing this year's university entrance exams. Senior clerics in Iran's theocratical regime have become concerned about the side effects of rising educational standards among women, including declining birth and marriage rates. Under the new policy, women undergraduates will be excluded from a broad range of studies in some of the country's leading institutions, including English literature, English translation, hotel management, archaeology, nuclear physics, computers, industrial engineering, and business management. The Oil Industry University, which has several campuses across the country, says it will no longer accept female students at all, citing a lack of employer demand. Now, Isfahan University provided a similar rationale for excluding women from its mining engineering degree, claiming 98% of female graduates end up jobless. Writing to Ban Ki-moon, the UN Secretary General, and Navi Pillay, the High Commissioner of Human Rights, Mrs. Ebadi, a human rights lawyer exiled in the UK, said the real agenda was to reduce the proportions of female students to below 50% from around 65% at present, thereby weakening the Iranian feminist movement in its campaign against discriminatory Islamic laws. Well, she's not pulling any punches, is she? So, when we claim to have it so bad, maybe we don't have it so bad. When we think we're having a difficult time, it could be much more difficult somewhere else now, couldn't it? Something worth thinking about.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. We'll be right back.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God, go I. There's a modern saying that many citizens are 2 paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, remember those who are less fortunate. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God, go I.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com.
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification calling night.
And a story slithering its way through Washington and into the arms and into the notepads of every Washington reporter. Unfortunately, many of them don't have the kahunas to report this, but there's a new book out. And in the book, there's a claim that Obama canceled 3 Kill Laden missions until Hillary Clinton stepped in. The story out of London, U.S. President Barack Obama put off 3 times operations to kill the world's most dreaded terrorist, Osama bin Laden, before finally going at the insistence of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, a new book is claiming. Citing unnamed sources within the Joint Operations Command, Rich Miniter, a former Wall Street Journal and Wall Street Washington Times reporter, claims that 3 kill missions were called off by Obama in January, February, and March. Bin Laden was killed by U.S. Navy SEALs inside his compound in Abbottabad in Pakistan in May 2011. Apparently, the president feared that the daring Navy SEALs operation to raid Bin Laden's Pakistani hideout in Abbottabad might go tragically wrong, and he would be blamed for it. The Mail Online has reported this, claiming it had viewed excerpts of the book leading behind the reluctant president and the advisors who decide for him. The book, which is slated for release this week, claims that the White House's carefully crafted narrative of Obama as a decisive leader who sanctioned the killing of the Al-Qaeda supremo was a myth, and challenges a key element of Obama's re-election bid that his decision to kill Osama symbolizes his resolute leadership. At the start of his presidency, Minter wrote, Obama was studiously undecided about whether to kill the mastermind of 9/11. He refused to weigh in or commit himself on even small matters related to a possible strike on bin Laden. So, another book is out, and there's a movie out all about the nasties of Barack Hussein Obama. The birthers are chanting loud, and they're making some headway in the court system to get their argument heard, and we shall see. We shall see if they have enough time November the 6th to put something on the table that the Supreme Court of the United States will swallow.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network.
You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Well, regrettably, President Obama has become part of the problem, and Mitt Romney is the solution.
This year, in this election, we are called to reaffirm our values and our commitments, to hold them against a hard reality, and see how we're measuring up the legacy of our forebears and the promise of future generations. And fellow Americans, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, I say to you tonight, we have more work to do.
I represent a part of America that includes inner cities, rural areas, suburbs, and factory towns. Over the years, I have seen and heard from a lot of family, from a lot of those who are running small businesses, and from people who are in need. But what I've heard lately, that's what troubles me the most. There's something different in their voice, in their words. What I hear from them are diminished dreams, lowered expectations, uncertain futures. I hear some people say that this is just the new normal. Higher unemployment, declining incomes, and crushing debt is not a new normal. It is the result of misguided policies. And next January, our economy will begin a comeback with the Romney plan for a stronger middle class that will lead to more jobs and more take-home pay for working Americans.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And a nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office slipped out a projection on Wednesday. Well before the news, they were picking it up. They may make mention of it, but not exactly how deep it truly is. The deficit for 2012 will run $1.1 trillion. The fourth year in a row, the shortfall will exceed $1 trillion. Now, the projection is down a bit from an earlier estimated pegging the deficit this year at $1.2 trillion. The report also warned that a new recession is likely if an ongoing stalemate over tax and spending cuts continues between Democrats and Republicans. In its annual summertime report, the budget office said Wednesday that letting decade-old tax rates expire and sweeping spending cuts occur in January, which will happen without congressional action, would lead to economic conditions in 2013 that will probably be considered a recession. Now, what would we do if the United States went back into a recession? What would it do for the world? What would it do for its staunch neighbors?
This is the VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network.
And what we would do, I would be greatly concerned. Because if that happened, the economy would contract by at least 0.5%, a gloomier projection than the budget office made earlier this year when it envisioned slight growth under the scenario. Unemployment would rise to about 9% by late next year if the standoff persisted. These are called analysts. The budget office's latest warning came amid a presidential and congressional election year, in which neither President Obama nor congressional Republicans have shown any sign of giving ground in their protected battle over taxes, spending, and the budget. The lethargic economy and massive federal spending deficits are top-flight issues in this year's campaign. But given the fact that they are top-flight issues, are they being handled? Has your candidate told you how they are going to get out of the mess that they are in? We've heard a lot about Obamacare. We've heard a lot about Romneycare. We've heard a lot about the Medicaid and the robbing of the Medicaid funds. We've heard all about that. But make everything equal, then what are you going to do? What is going to take place under the Romney plan that has not taken place under the Barack Hussein Obama plan? What is it that the conservatives, that the Republicans can do that will change the feeling and bring back to the United States of America the can-do American attitude? Well, I like what I hear from Romney regarding education and believing in investing in our children for a brighter future, for more children to be educated and to be able to work within industries in North America. I like that. I like the idea that Mitt Romney understands the burden that students take on with student loans and wants to restructure that so it will make it easier for students to not only be able to take their courses and get their degrees, but will also be able to find work to repay their loans in one fashion or another. So I like that. I like what Ryan says about the budget and that you can't just keep burying it, that you have to come to terms with it. I'm not quite clear how coming to terms they will be able to be, given the problems of the economy. It's logical that if you lower taxes, you will spur growth, and growth will eventually provide more taxes. And if the growth is sustainable, then the taxes would increase exponentially. And that could be the method of starting the engine of the U.S. economy. But it would only be one shot, and it wouldn't be billions of dollars of government coffer money injected into companies to make them stand on their own merits of being in the marketplace and being feasible. You see, that's the problem. Once you start giving money from governments to companies to survive, they no longer have a concern of being effective or priced properly in the marketplace. We have seen that by the purchase power of American governments buying $300 toilet seats and $75 staple removers. We've seen the overpricing that budget committees have done in order to bury dollars here and there. It happens all around the world, especially in the Western democratic political system, that our financial livelihood seems to be stuck in. You see, that's the problem, is that we are running two sets of rules. You are either going to run a fiscally conservative ship, or you're going to run balls to the wall and spend everything you got. That seems to be where the United States are as they go into this election. Can they afford four more years of what they have seen? Is it possible that Barack Obama is out of steam? Is it possible? And if he is, what could Romney do different? It's very well pissing in the president's conflicts, but you're going to replace him. If the president of the United States of America is not the man you expect to be in the White House and you replace him, you had better replace him with something better and something more trusting, but something better. And with that, we got to get out of here. Can't believe we've blown through an hour already. Shalom, everybody.
And now a word from the President of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
Sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead, move it up.
Now,
We
now return you to normally scheduled programming. Looking to contact the show? By email, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com. Come to the blog site and choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, vocr2012@gmail.com for more information. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. Hey there, got a minute? We all have busy lives. sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard and we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a TerraChat Network production. www.terrachatnet.com